I was waiting for the go sign from back there. Okay. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Good to have you here on this nice, cool day. Well, you know, it could be worse. It could be 100 degrees already. So glad you're here today. We've got a bunch of updates on prayer we need to hear, and then we'll get started. How's Brother Doug? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God in the storm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. A friend of mine from work, Roger Dale Wilson, his mother is in ICU in Asheville with a virus. They have her on a ventilator. But he sent me a message yesterday and said that they had reduced the paralytic drug and had turned down the ventilator. She's improving, so that's an answer to prayer there. So thank you for your prayers there as well. Some of you may have already heard Donna's uncle passed away Friday. Was it Friday? Yesterday, Saturday. Okay. So keep their family in your prayers. Bobby Woodham is still not doing too good, so keep him in your prayers. He's still got a fever and stuff, so appreciate you praying for him. How's Miss Noby? So is Taylor still her favorite person? The physical therapy is still her favorite? Okay. All right. Oh, is she? She's dry. Okay. She wants to get out a little bit. Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Levi, you're here. You survived the expedition yesterday. All right. I saw them getting ready to go on the Otauga Creek yesterday, so that's great. Did y'all get in the rain? Y'all got in the shower, the storm? Okay. All right. Wow. Yeah, I just said that. Somebody wasn't listening to me. Yes, ma'am. September 3rd is Garrett's graduation. All right. Outstanding. Air Force Base, Mississippi. Okay, great. So he already knows where he's going. Good. What's he going to be doing? What's IT. Okay, that's very good. Anybody else? Any other updates we need to hear? Oh, wow. Pray for Holly. That's right. Michael leaves. And yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. So they're going to do palliative care, and that's Robert's aunt, you said? Okay. Yes, Donna's brother had a knee, brand new knee, so he's going to have to do physical therapy as well. So continue to pray for that. Some of you may know Jim McGriff. He was a missionary to Belize in Nicaragua, lived in Elmore. He passed away a couple of days ago, and I just learned this morning that Keith Stevenson passed away in his sleep. So Keith was a youth minister for many years at First Baptist. So I knew Keith well. I did not know that though. So a lot of people keep in your prayers. An election's coming up. Our nation is at the crossroads, and we need to be praying for that and participating in that as well. Schools starting in some form or fashion, so keep that in your prayers as well. Anything else? Depends on which college. Some of them are doing virtual. Yeah.
This past week, a number of people have been doing
that. Yeah. And some of them are doing a combination, like my nephew. His classes at Alabama, his classes, because of his major, are all going to be virtual. But his fiance's classes have labs, so she'll have to be at campus. So it depends. Yeah, that's true. Okay, anybody else? All right, well, we'll do Kids with a King. I'm not going to call you down front, let you stay back there where you're at. If you have, if you're watching this electronically, get your kids up close to the monitor where they can see. We're going to continue to talk about the wonders of God's creation, the wonders of God's creation. The verse of Scripture comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, that's just one of the examples of one of the days of creation where God has created animals, in this case, sea creatures, water creatures, and birds. And I was thinking about this the other day as I was out hiking, and I want to show you a picture of, now I don't know if you have a favorite insect. Insects are probably not, you know, but this is my favorite insect. Anybody know what that is? Dragonfly. That's a dragonfly. And here's a couple of more pictures. They're all colors and sizes, really brightly colored. And I always, even as a kid, loved to watch dragonflies. So to me, this is one of the great examples of God's creation, that God designed this delicate-looking little insect in such a manner that it does what it's designed to do very well. Let's keep going. If you think about dragonflies, this particular kind of insect lives on every continent in the world, obviously except Antarctica. They don't like cold weather, so I don't blame them. They can fly 35 miles an hour. Now, you might say that's not really that fast. Well, not compared to a jet fighter, but can you run 35 miles an hour? I don't think so. A dragonfly can fly 35 miles per hour. It can also fly backwards. It can also take off vertically. So long time before man developed helicopters or vertical takeoff and landing airplanes, God created an insect that could do the same thing. Now, the main thing I like about a dragonfly is this next topic. They prey on skeeters. Anybody like skeeters? Nobody likes skeeters. Well, dragonflies like skeeters. They eat them. So if you have dragonflies, encourage dragonflies. A dragonfly is really a symbol of summer, don't you think so? As you walk around lakes and ponds and that kind of thing, you'll see them flying around all the time. The dragonfly has really, really large compound eyes made up. Each eye is made up of 28,000 single eyes. Now, we got two eyes. You need to take care of both of them. But if you're a dragonfly, you got like 28,000 individual eyes, okay? So they can see pretty good, obviously. And you got to, if you're flying along at 35 miles an hour and you're trying to catch a mosquito that you can't hardly see, so they have to have that. There's about 7,000 different species of brightly colored dragonflies. Now, you know, next time you're out walking about and you see dragonflies darting around, think about that God designed that delicate creature to be one of the greatest examples of aerobatics and aerodynamics that you will ever see. But well, that's probably true. That's probably true. It probably is. And they tend to live around the water. Dragonflies are also very good indicators of the environmental health of an ecosystem. If you see a lot of dragonflies around a lake or a pond, it typically means that the water is of good quality and the biology is balanced there as well. So that's a good. But one thing I thought about this, and I don't know the answer to it. God didn't tell us. God doesn't really mention dragonflies per se in Scripture. But did He create dragonflies when He did birds or when He did sea creatures? Because part of the dragonfly's life is in the water, and part of it is in the air. So I don't know. Maybe you need to research that and tell me what you think about that. Okay? Michael?
With us today playing for us, Ms. Jan and Greg are on vacation with their family. So with that said, let her know how well y'all sing. Let's stand up and sing all together, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure.
And the second,
not in labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. These for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross again.
The last,
while I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Brother Larry.
Okay, great. Again, to see you guys here, turn around, blow a kiss to everybody, let them know how glad you are to have them here. Do it socially distancing that way. Join me as we pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time together, for the opportunity to come together as the body of Christ and worship you corporately. Lord, we know that you love us and that you have given us the greatest gift that anyone could ever desire, that is the gift of life and life more abundantly in the person of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the church that we would be your salt and your light, that we would be bold in proclaiming your truth and faithful in showing forth your love. We pray for our nation. We are entering an election time. And we realize that as your people, as your church, we have a duty to you and to this nation to vote our values, to vote your direction, to be the salt and the light that you have called us to be. We pray for our leaders, that you would give them wisdom, that they would be more concerned about your approval than their position in a political poll. We pray for our first responders and for our military, that you would keep them safe. And then, Father, today, as we focus on your word, may we be attentive to your spirit, that we might only hear your words, but that we might obey them as well. We welcome you here this morning in the person of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to receive the praise and worship that you alone are due. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
All right, stay right there. We've got a special presentation. It's somebody's birthday this week. Who knows? And we're not going to talk about the age. But I'm socially distancing, so on behalf of the church, there you go. Everybody, let's sing all together. And
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Larry.
And many more.
Happy birthday to you.
Now and many more. All right. I hope you have a great birthday week. You may be seated. We're going to continue. Okay, again, I got some good old standards. How many of y'all remember singing Alleluia years ago? We hadn't done it in a number of years. I'll tell you something about that in just a minute. But right now, you may be seated, but let's sing it all together. And
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
I will praise Him. Alleluia. I will praise Him. Alleluia. I will praise Him. Alleluia.
Now, if you look at the words now, this next one, it's funny how you can interchange words and songs. We know the tune, Alleluia. We know the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Sing it together. Guess what? It works with this song. So let's sing this all together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And
what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
See, that was cool, interchangeable, wasn't it? All right, let's keep singing the good old standard. Again, I was trying to put up some things that I thought Vanessa would like, and this is a little challenge to play on the piano. Ha ha, that's why I chose this one. So let's sing this all together. A good old standard. I will sing of my Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
And the second,
I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory He given over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
And the last,
I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love for me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Brother Larry.
As we light the candle, you'll see those up top that are military. And then the next one is for first responders, which we'll have another one. Vanessa's with us today, so she's a first responder as well.
So let's stand in honor as we sing America the Beautiful today.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of green, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood, from sea to shining sea.
And you may be seated.
Thank you, Michael and Vanessa, leading us in worship this morning. Long-lasting choices. Sometimes we make decisions whose consequences are insignificant. Probably that's true. But sometimes we make choices and the consequences can have far-reaching and long-lasting consequences. Now you might tell me, well now Pastor, I thought God can forgive me for anything, and you are correct. God will forgive you for anything. God will restore the relationship, the fellowship. God will save you. Yes, He will. He will remove your sins as that far as the east is from the west. That is absolutely true. But that does not necessarily mean that the consequences will not still be there. We see a lot of examples in Scripture. You may remember David, King David. Did God forgive him? Sure. Did God restore to him the joy of his salvation? He did. Did he remove the consequences? No, he did not. We see examples today. If you go out and commit a heinous, violent crime, will God forgive you for that? Yes, he will. You may even get forgiveness from the victim of the crime, but will you still serve time for that offense? Yes, you will. So, we see examples in Scripture, we see examples in everyday life that we need to be, we talked about this before, about walking carefully, that we need to understand that the words of our mouths and the actions of our lives have consequences, and we need to be careful. Yes, we need to be careful. We want to be pleasing to God, we want to do things that please Him, we want to hear Him tell us when we reach the end of our lives. We want to hear Him say, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Don't you? That's what we want? So we want to be careful in the way we conduct our lives. We need to give Him the reverence, Him the worship that He alone is due. Now, as I was preparing for this message, God kept bringing the Scripture up to me over and over again, and I kept trying to push it back because I don't like to use the same Scripture reference several times. And I know some of you guys take notes and you can go back and tell what I preached on last year. Well, you will know when you see the Scripture that I have preached from this chapter three times. This will be the third time. So I took it that God wants us to hear from this chapter, and so you're going to hear maybe not the exact same verses, but you're going to hear from this chapter again. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verses 1 through 10. Now, all the verses will not be on the board, so I recommend you open up your Scripture because I am going to read them. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars. While their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees on the high hills. On my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doings. Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to your word today. Guide us by your Spirit. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, first of all, I want us to consider something here this morning. Go ahead. That we have choices that we have to make, and that these choices can be long-lasting. Now, understand this first point very well. The result of our sinful choices can involve our children and even our grandchildren. Now, you might say, well, I thought everybody's gonna be judged on their own. And yes, that's true. We all will stand before either the great white throne, which I hope nobody here is that, or before the judgment seat of Christ. You will each one individually stand before the Lord in one of those two places to answer for the words and the actions of your life. Now, if you stand in the judgment seat of Christ, then you already stand clothed in the righteousness and the blood of Christ, and you are saved. If you stand before the great white throne, then you stand only clothed in your own righteousness, which is totally insufficient. None of us. Scripture says we have all sinned and all come short of the glory of God. And anyone who stands before the great white throne clothed in their own righteousness will all receive the same verdict, death, eternity, and hell. Now, having said that, though, we need to understand that the things we do individually and collectively can and do affect our children. They can and do affect our grandchildren. The person who is elected President of the United States in November will have more than just 4 or 8 years effect on this nation. The decisions that they make will impact our children and our grandchildren. Justices that they appoint to the Supreme Court, to the federal courts, will make decisions that will affect generation after generation. The things that we do affect others. A person who decides to drink or take drugs and get behind the wheel of a car driving down the road may die in a traffic accident, but he may also take somebody's husband, brother, or father. I know in Troy many years ago, a woman was walking her small child in a baby buggy down the sidewalk, and a drunk left the roadway, jumped the curve, and killed the child. Now you might say, well, how can a good God let bad things happen? Because we live in a sinful world, and God has given us free choice. And sinful choices can have long-lasting implications. The culture, make no mistake about it, the culture today is teaching our children to follow Satan. Now, they're not going to use that name. They're not going to say, hey, we're going to teach you to follow Satan. But trust me, that's what they are doing. When you deny Christ, when you try to take Christ out of everything, then the only thing left is Satan. You've heard me say before, and it bears repeating, if you teach children that they come from monkeys and then they act like they come from monkeys, why are you surprised? Our culture is teaching the next generation to not worship God, to worship self, to worship pleasure, to worship anything other than Jesus Christ. Why is it that you can talk about anything you want to talk about religion-wise on the TV? It's no big deal until you mention the name of Jesus Christ. And oh my goodness, you have offended all kinds of people then. It should not be surprise to you that the name of Jesus Christ offends Satan. It should not surprise you, because Scripture tells us there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Now, you take it for granted that I can get up here and preach Jesus to you. I don't know how much longer that's going to be. This is the United States. That could never happen. Don't say that. The choices we make today have repercussions tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. Growing up, Halloween, when I was a little kid, Halloween was one of my favorite times. When else could you get 100 pounds of candy, you know, and get to eat it? You know, me and my brother would, you know, we'd make the rounds and we'd have the little orange pumpkins be full of candy. We'd come back and dump them on the table, you know, and mom and dad would go through it, even back then, go through it. And then they would say, okay, you can have this much. You know, you can have this much. Y'all remember the little, I think it was wrapped orange and black candy that was like peanut butter. I didn't like it. I couldn't stand it. But my brother liked it, so I gave him all of mine. So mom and dad had told us how much you could have. Well, he got a lot extra because I didn't want that, and I gave it to him. So he ate it all. And it was good until about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he woke up with a stomach ache. Wound up, had to go to the ER. Mom and dad thought they were afraid he was going to have an appendicitis. Took him to the ER. He was fine. But the point is, it was all good while he was eating it. But shortly afterwards, the consequences showed up. That's short term. Sometimes consequences are a lot longer. A lot longer. And you see, Satan has a technique he uses. Slow and repetitive influence is what I call it. Satan will suggest something to you. And maybe you turn him down. No, not going to do that. But he'll come back again. And he comes back again. And he comes back again. Over and over and over again. And sooner or later he wears you down. If you're not staying close to Jesus, he'll wear you down. You know, water dripping on a rock will eventually punch a hole in a rock, don't you? And that's because the rock can't move. But if we're staying close to Jesus Christ, we can tell Satan to take a hike. You know what Jesus did? Three times Satan tempted him, and three times Jesus hit him with the Word of God. The trouble is, you've got to know the Word of God if you're going to use it. The armor of God in Ephesians talks about helmet of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel. But it talks about one weapon. You remember what it is? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. This is your weapon. Satan is not scared of you. Satan is not scared of me. Satan is not impressed with any of us. But Satan fears the Word of God. Use it against him. Know it. Commit it to your memory. Commit it to your heart. Feast on the Word of God. Because the choices we make us. Do you hear that? The choices we make will make us. You are who you are today because of the choices, the cumulative choices you have made. At some point, I hope, in your life, you have chosen Jesus Christ. You have chosen the gift of salvation. You have chosen to turn from the way of the world and turn to Christ. Those choices will have eternal consequences. Similarly, if you chose to put him off, to put Jesus off, like the governor, did he not tell Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. I will call for you at a more opportune time. And apparently the governor never had a more opportune time. Almost does not count. You know the old adage that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Intending to make a decision is not the same thing as making a decision. Oh, I knew that tire was low and I intended to get it checked, but I hadn't done it yet. So don't be surprised when you walk out and it's flat. Lasting choices. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Be ready. Put on the armor of God. And understand that the choices you make may affect not just you, but someone you love. Make choices with that in mind. Secondly, what are we really trusting in? Because what we're really trusting in is going to determine how we make our choices. If you really trust in Jesus Christ, then you're going to make your choices based on that. If you don't really, truly, fully trust Jesus, then you may be wishy-washy in the way you make your choices. Scripture here says, do not trust in man. As a matter of fact, it goes even deeper than that. Verse 5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have ever been out in the desert Southwest. Anybody? The desert is really a beautiful place, or can be, but it is extremely dry. Extremely dry. The first time I ever went out to the Sonoran Desert was in August. Don't go in August, okay? I went in August. I had to. I was traveling for work. And it was 114 degrees ambient. I don't mean heat index. The actual thermometer was 114 degrees about 11 o'clock in the morning. It was in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, people will tell you, but it is a dry heat. Don't believe them. Yeah, it's a dry heat, but Kathy's oven is a dry heat, too. You know what it does to things in the oven? And it will cook you. You know, I always had a bottle of water with me, and I was drinking a bottle of water every time I turned around. But I got to noticing my skin was getting flaky. And it dawned on me, whatever water I was drinking was gone because it was so, so hot. And that's the picture here. A man who puts, or woman, who puts their trust in the way of man is like a shrub in the desert. What happens to the shrubs in the desert? They dry up. They have no life left in them. I went out. You guys know I love to go hiking. I went out after our class that day to Piestewah Peak in Phoenix. There's a circumference trail goes all the way around the mountain. I was going to hike that trail. Well, I said, you know, I'm going to wait till it cools off a little bit. Well, guess what? It don't ever cool off. I went out there like at 5 or 6 o'clock, and it was 100 degrees almost. So then I went back like at 9 p.m. It was cooler. It was 91 degrees. That's what a life without Jesus Christ is. It's not life. It will suck it out of you. The world will suck the life out of you. You know, little tumbleweeds that are moved around by the wind? That's what we're going to be without Christ. We're going to be tumbling around with the winds of change. If we trust in man, then the flesh is our strength. And now, you might be Mr. Olympic. You might can bench press all kinds of weight, but I'm going to tell you, that does not last. And that strength will not see you into eternity. That strength will not be ultimately victorious. The man who puts his trust in man departs from God. You cannot serve God. Scripture says you cannot have two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is the way of man. You cannot serve two. Only one. It's like I've talked about before. You got to get in the kayak or the canoe or stay out. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. You know what happens, Levi? You get wet, don't you? If you have one foot out and one foot in, you get wet. You got to get in the boat. Well, if you're going to trust God, you get in. When Peter was in the boat and Jesus called him out to the water, what did Peter do? He got out. He didn't talk about it. He just went. You either trust God or you don't. If your trust is in the way of man, then that trust will lead to destruction. It will lead to heartache. It will lead to darkness and doubt and disorder. It leads to nothing good. It amazes me when I hear people lament what's happening in their families, and then I look at them and I say, well, where is Jesus in your family? Well, we used to go to church. How come you don't now? Well, I used to pray. Well, why don't you now? I used to. Well, that tells me you were not all in. Do you trust Jesus Christ or do you trust man? You can't trust both. If our trust is in God, blessed in verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river. That same area. I drove up to the Grand Canyon, got there early, went out to the overlook, and there's desert everywhere. All kinds of, you know, now the colors are beautiful, yes, but it's dirt. But as I looked down toward Indian Garden, you know what I saw? I saw green. And I saw trees and shrubs. And I'm like, wow, why is it green right down there? And then I realized there's a little river that runs down. It pours into the Colorado River. Runs down through there. And everywhere that little river was, there were trees. Sycamore trees. Big trees. You didn't find them up there on the desert because there's no life there. Jesus Christ is the living water. And we're not going to live without Him. If you trust in God, then your life will be productive. Because the Spirit of God will produce it. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, you can list it. It's the fruit of the Spirit with a capital S. As we yield to the Spirit of God, He produces that fruit in us. It means no fear. Now, does that mean I won't ever be scared of anything? Well, it really means I have nothing to fear because I trust in God. Scripture says that perfect love casts out fear. Nobody's going to love me perfectly except Jesus Christ. And if my love is completely and totally focused on Him, then I have no reason to fear. You know, when Greg sent me a message yesterday and told me that Jim McGriff passed away, I knew he'd been sick for a little while, and I'm sad for the family, but I'm also happy for Jim, because Jim and his wife and their family served God faithfully on the mission field for many, many years in Belize and in Nicaragua. So Jim is not dead. Jim is more alive today than he's ever been before, because he's standing with Jesus Christ. He's receiving His reward today. And you know, of all the funerals I have done, a funeral conducted for a Christian, someone who I know loves the Lord, is not... Now, I'm sad for the family. I hate to see them cry. Yes, I understand that. But I'm not deeply sad because I rejoice that that person knew Jesus Christ and is alive forevermore. If you do a funeral for someone who you're pretty sure does not know Jesus Christ, that's a whole different picture then. Because what hope can I give if I'm pretty sure they don't know Jesus Christ? I can't give an assurance of life eternal. Because that only assurance is in Jesus Christ. Trust in God stands the test of time. Things rot, things rust, things break down, but the Word of God endures forever. Forever. And if you know Jesus Christ, you will live forever as well. How long is forever? How long is forever? I heard somebody say, well, it's like a sparrow picking up a grain of sand off the beach, one at a time, carrying it somewhere. I'm like, well, for the sparrow, that probably would be eternity. Yeah. We can't even measure it. So let me ask you, these choices you've got to make are based on what you trust or who you trust. Where really is your trust? Is it in Jesus Christ? If that's true, then you will make choices based on that. If your trust is somewhere else, then your choices are going to reflect that trust. Thirdly, so let's get a heart checkup. Need to go to a cardiologist, find out what's at the heart of the matter. And now here's the scary thing here. Right here, it says, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Anybody think that's a good picture of themselves? That's not very flattering, is it? Do you want to be called deceitful and desperately wicked? God doesn't pull any punches, though. He's telling the truth. That is our heart apart from the influence of God's Holy Spirit. Now, the problem right here is that we can deceive ourselves. I've seen it done. I've done it myself, and I bet you have too. You probably have convinced yourself that something you wanted to do, or something you wanted to go, that you had an idea, probably wasn't the right thing to do, but you talked yourself into it. Don't raise your hand, but I bet you did. David did that. A man after God's own heart, didn't he? He looked over the balcony and saw Bathsheba, and somehow David justified to himself adultery and murder. Now you might say, how in the world could a man after God's own heart do that? That's why. Because man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Don't think you can't do something like that. You can. Apart from the influence of God's Holy Spirit, we could all be in that same boat. Not a pretty picture, but a truthful picture. The good news is God loves us even though He knows that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. He still loves us. Even though maybe we cannot really truly know our own self, He does. And we can trust Him with our lives. Because He knows our hearts. He created us and He knows our hearts. And you can trust that He has the best in store, the best in mind, and He will direct you along those paths. Somebody asked me one time, it wasn't for this election, but it was another election, and they were saying they didn't know who to believe. They looked at me, they said, how do you know if a politician is telling you the truth? And I said, if they're speaking, they're not telling you the truth. It's probably the truth for a politician. But you can trust Jesus Christ. He speaks truth. He speaks love. He speaks light. Now, He's not going to necessarily tell you what you want to hear. He's not going to be like Satan. He's not going to stroke your ego. He's going to tell you your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. But I still love you. And I can take that and I can do something with it. I can make you better than you would be by yourself, and I can give you life and life more abundantly. Does that mean I'm always going to make the right choice? I wish I could tell you that that would be true. But the trouble is, even though we have given our heart to the Lord, sometimes we don't give every minute to Him. And sometimes we'll make bad choices still. But I can promise you, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you seek Him daily, the great majority of the decisions you make are going to turn out to God's glory and to your good as well. We all have choices to make every day. What we need to strive to do is make sure that we honor Jesus with our choices, that we demonstrate our love for Him with our choices, and that we seek His guidance on our choices. Do you think He cares what you do for a living? Yes, He does. Do you think He cares who you go out on a date with? Yeah, He cares. And the list goes on and on. He cares because He gave His life that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Here's your compass point. Our nation, our children, and our future is at a crossroads. Now, I say that because of the election coming up, yes, but it's that way really every day. Maybe not to that degree, because thankfully we don't have an election every time you turn around, but you still make choices that affect you and others every day. Understand that the choices you make will have eternal consequences. You are about to make one right now. In just a moment, Michael's going to come up here and lead you in a verse of invitation on him, and you're going to have an opportunity to cast your cares on him. You're going to have an opportunity to surrender your heart, surrender your plans and your priorities to him, or you're going to have an opportunity to choose self over him. Please do not leave this building today until you have settled in your mind and in your heart and with God that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Make sure that you have asked Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and your life and save you. Make sure you have asked Him to be the Lord of your life, to help you make the decisions tomorrow and next week and next month and next year that honor Him, bring glory to Him, and bring good to you. Join me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for giving us choice and then helping us make the right choice. Father, I pray that no one will leave this building, and those that will be viewing electronically will not shut off the recording until they make certain in their life of their eternal destination and their relationship with you. Father, that may they understand and may they seek you above all else. May they understand that they need to choose you, that today is the day of salvation. We are not promised tomorrow. Thank you, Father, for what you have done, for what you're going to do. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Listen, hallelujah, one more time. Let's sing it all together. And hallelujah, hallelujah.